Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hello, everyone. Mylon Yurkovich in for Steve Arterburn, and I am with Chris Williams. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how you doing?
It's great to be with you.
Okay, I got a question for you today.
Okay.
All right. Father's Day coming up in a few days.
Yeah.
You've been a father for a while now.
I have.
And now a grandfather.
Yes.
What is some of the key moments in your fathering that you look back on? Hey, I did, if I didn't get a lot right, which I know you did get a lot right, what are some things that you got right as a dad? And maybe I'm selfishly asking this as a younger father. So, yeah, what are some things to say, hey, I got this right?
Well, it took me some time to learn this, Chris, and thank you for going right for the jugular
on
the first question. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, there's no soft serve cones here. I mean, this is all...
Hey, we're a hard-hitting show here.
Wow. You know, but here's the deal. I learned halfway through my parenting learning process to stop and ask my kids, what does it feel like to have me as a dad?
Wow.
What are the things that have hurt you? What are the things that have offended you? What do I need to apologize to you for?
That's incredible.
Well, I don't know if it's incredible, but it was effective.
Well, what's incredible about that is that takes a whole different level of humility and vulnerability. Mm. What led you there?
Well, first of all, Kay and I teach people all the time that there's no such thing as a perfect parent.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the principles within that concept is if we want to stay current with our relationships. And so if we're not perfect parents, sometimes we have to ask, well, what have I done that perhaps has hurt you? And it dawned on me one day that, especially if there's distance in a relationship with one of your kids, and your kids, we have four, Kay and I have four kids, and they take turns kind of drifting in and out of closeness and distance with both of us, but and sometimes with one or the other. And so I remember sitting down with my son, one of my sons, 15, 20 years ago, or maybe 15, and I said to him, you know, I think there's unresolved business between the two of us. I know there's things that are going on in the past that where I've – because I'm also a jokester. I like to, and I think I'm funny, but my kids tell me I'm not. And what have I done to hurt you? And he took off for, you know, an hour with half a dozen things. And I owned every one of those. And I said, yep, you're right. I could see how that would embarrass you. And I'm sorry I did that. Now I think I might be a little bit more sensitive. So we had a chance to repair all those things. Life is not about being perfect. It's about repairing the ruptures that occur.
Yeah.
And because sometimes parents frustrate their children. You know, parents say my kids frustrate me, but sometimes I frustrate them, and we never think about that. We never stop and ask, what's it like to have me as a parent? And that's what the whole book, or at least the first half of the book, How We Love Our Kids, is all about. What am I like? So I would have to say that that has been one of the things that my kids constantly thank me for.
Well, I know a lot of people are going to go into this Father's Day with some fear and some pain.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to give a message of redemption and hope.
Right.
And a lot of fathers can go into this with some regret and some unresolved issues themselves. So there is hope. There is healing. This is what we do at New Life. This is why I hang out with guys like Milan Jurkovic that can coach and teach and help grow me. And so hang on. We're going to be right back after this. We're going to go right to the phones. And thanks for being with us.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and then you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. Milan Jurkovic sitting in for Steve Arterburn and Chris Williams. We're here to take your calls, and we're going to go to Texas.
Yes, let's go to Texas. I love Texas.
We're going to go talk to Alice in Denton, Texas, which, by the way, in Denton has one of my favorite barbecue places in the whole world.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
I'm telling you. Hi, Alice. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for taking my call, and I hope y'all know what a blessing your ministry is.
Well, and you are a blessing to us. We love the listeners, we love the supporters, we love being with you. So what's on your heart, Alice?
Well, I have a situation. My daughter and I, when she graduated, we went and got an apartment together. And last night she wanted her boyfriend to spend the night, but, you know, I put my foot down. I said, no, she's not paying rent right now. So I have a little bit more control because I'm like, no, you know, I'm paying the rent, so you can't do that. She's like, you know, we don't sleep together. We just, you know, like to hang out and play video games, and then if he falls asleep and this, that, and the other. But she's supposed to be looking for a job. I mean, she's 18. She'll be 19 in a few months. But then she'll be paying rent. When she gets the job, she'll be, you know, paying half the rent. And, you know, what kind of control or how do I... I mean, I'm being the mom here. I can't stop being the mom. I can't just be a roommate. So I don't know how to handle it.
Mm. Well, that's a really good question. So she's almost 19 years old. Is that correct?
Correct.
So how old is she on the inside? She's 19.
Oh, 12.
Okay, so she's 19 going on 12. And that's really an important piece to add to this puzzle. What do we do with kids who really want to behave and act like adults, but they're really still kids inside? And that's a great question. Chris, where would you start on that one?
I would just say it makes sense that she wants to stay up all night with a friend and play video games and sleep in and not have to take responsibility.
And not have to go look for a job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Alice, this is actually, I think, a lot more about you than your daughter, because you've called in and with some great questions. I want to change a word for you. I want you to get rid of the word control. One of the things I really believe and see is that you can't control a person and connect with them at the same time, especially an adult. But what you're doing with not allowing your daughter's boyfriend to stay over the night, you're not controlling, you're setting a boundary. And those are two very different things. And so I want you to think of it for yourself as like, no, a boy spending night over here doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for my house. It's not how I do things here. And so that is my boundary. Do you see the difference
okay.
there?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And so it's not a matter of you're trying to determine your daughter's behavior for her. You're trying to create a safe environment for you and her to live. And mostly, quite honestly, for yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I told her, she might need to move back in with her dad because I work a lot of hours and this is my sanctuary. And I said, all I do is worry.
Let me jump back in.
I left a very,
So, Alice, I'm so sorry I'm interrupting, but I'm going to interrupt anyways.
Okay.
Because there's a really important question here. When it comes to your daughter, what are you afraid of?
She makes really bad choices with her friends and her boyfriend. I mean, she doesn't like them until they don't treat her right. And, and I hate to say it, that's how I was. And
okay, there we go.
I prayed her whole life that she would make better choices than I did. And I just don't see that.
Yeah. So you're afraid that your daughter is going to go through some of the painful experiences that you have had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I don't blame you.
And I've had her in church her whole life. And so I tell her, I know you know better.
Alice.
You have to live your own life. You're an adult.
Well, she's really not an adult. She's tricked into thinking she's an adult because she's 18. But
right.
Let's keep in mind that a couple of things. One, you're divorced, it would appear, because she's, with her dad, and she moved out of there, and she's in with you. But I'm going to share something that's a little bit different than where Chris was going. I would ask her how prepared she is to be a mom. And whether she believes in abortion or giving life to a baby that she conceived. And put her into some philosophical dilemmas because what I did with my daughters, and Chris asked me on the show what were some of the things I did as a dad. I have two boys and two girls, and they're all men and women now, but I talked to all of them about sexuality. And I told my girls what boys were really like.
Mm-hmm.
That boys have testosterone. It's on 100% of the time, 365, 24/7. And your daughter may just be thinking, like a girl, she doesn't get testosterone and how powerful the predatory and the drive is of the male. And she's putting herself in a vulnerable position by just wanting to play video games. And he has something more than video games on his mind. He wants to have sex with her. And if she thinks that he as a boy is thinking like she does, it's one of the worst errors a female can make, that these guys think like I do. The girl needs to understand what the male brain is all about and how driven it is by the hormone testosterone. And she needs to really understand that he will not have her best interests in mind. He won't treat her like a friend. He will want to take advantage of her, and if she's a little bit weak, a little bit soft in this area, boom, she's going to have to deal with sexuality, the possibility of pregnancy, the possibility of sexually transmitted disease, and she really needs to understand the responsibility. It's not just to have fun, be close, and have video games together.
Yes.
And she has to grow up and understand what boys are like. And I say this as a man. It is what is true about males and testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the pornography problem is off the charts, Alice. The average male looks at pornography. I would have to say 95% of all males have looked at some point in time this whole issue of pornography, and they get distorted thoughts in their head, and all they want is an outlet. All they want is an outlet. And your sweet little girl wants to play video games, and she's going to be taken advantage of. That's another place you need to go. is to get her into a position, not just to getting her to church, that's super important, but a lot of times, again, I'll say this over and over, churches are, for the most part, not addressing sexuality in our culture. Mm-hmm. They're avoiding that topic, and they're certainly not educating young men and women how to carry themselves in a way that is glorifying to the Lord and will save them from grief. And that's another place that I go with my daughters. Mm-hmm. And my daughters know that. And you know what they did, Alice? They picked two really good guys. My daughters picked two really good guys because I was very involved in their life talking about this stuff. And it's just super important that you be open and frank with her. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, she doesn't have a dad that does that. Well, very negative.
Well, and so
degrading and.
Yep, you need to step into that. And now you brought up another topic. If he is negative and degrading, then she's going to be seeking male companionship that's positive and affirming to her. So if we can have a good time together, she's going to really have a desire for that. Does that make sense?
Oh, exactly. That's what I tell her. Yeah.
Well,
she's
good.
For love in all the wrong places.
Atta girl. That's a way to be a mom, and yet you have to keep a persistent. Even if she chooses to move out with you, you're going to be the truth teller. Okay.
Okay.
Alice, thank you so much. We're going to send you a book, "Take Your Life Back" by mm-hmm. Steve Arterburn, because she needs to start learning to build, and you guys together can read that book and find yourself in a position of, what does it mean to take my life back? What do I mean by that? Alice's daughter doesn't have her life yet. It's been parts of it have been taken away by dad and the situation in life. And so we're going to talk to her and hopefully through that book be able to help both of them. How do we get our lives back and get on a better path? So some good stuff in that book. And Alice, thank you for calling. You know, we have a matching gift here at New Life. It's amazing, Chris. It's over $300,000.
It's incredible. Yeah.
Incredibly generous supporters and donors have provided a matching gift. And if you will decide and think today, all right, it's June. By the way, I can't believe it's June. It was just Christmas.
It's amazing, yes.
It was just Easter. Yeah. Now it's June. And to think we could support this ministry we listen to on the radio every day. And maybe you haven't chosen to support. Maybe you'd like to even increase your support. But for every dollar you donate to New Life Ministries, it'll be matched. And what a blessing. You know what it is? It's not a gimmick, like you said in a previous show this week. It's really good stewardship.
It's incredible
stewardship. If I had a chance to make an investment and know right away it's going to double.
I get 100%.
Boom.
Yeah.
This is an incredible investment. Yeah. So you get a twofer here.
It's
a
no-brainer.
For every dollar, it's a twofer.
Yeah.
And we would love to have you be a part of this ministry. You know, New Life, and we don't technically work for New Life.
No, huh?
But we're just brought in to be a part of this show. We're honored to be brought in. But we can say independently, this is a well-run organization.
Yeah, absolutely.
Financially, boy, I'm going to tell you, there is no extravagance around here. It's just the right stuff that you need to do what we do, and it is a well-run ship.
Well, and I can only speak for myself. I'm not going to put my name alongside or with something that doesn't have high financial integrity and fidelity. And so not only that, it's more than that, more than just minding the P's and Q's. It's this ministry is unbelievably helpful to so many people that don't have access to the help that
we provide. Ministry does what very few, if any, ministries do in terms of the nationwide counseling call-in show. This is a great, great show for people to listen to and get a lot of help. Now, here's another cool thing about supporting New Life. If you become a Club New Life member, which means you're agreeing to support every month with a consistent amount, they get the bonus pack on this one. If you join, or even if you increase your Club New Life donation level, you're going to get the following books. And this is the who's who of New Life in terms of books. How We Love, which I'm pleased to be a part of. Changes That Heal by Henry Cloud. Boundaries by John N. Henry. Healing Is a Choice. Intimate Deception. Forgiving What You Never Forget. And Every Man's Battle and the secrets women keep.
Oh my goodness. Every time I hear that list, that's quite I'm like, a list, are you kidding
me? No, it's kind of the who's who. So join New Life, Club New Life, and be a part of that. And you're going to get those books. I'm saying it would be worth it just to do that, just to get that. But then we love the sustaining gift that you provide for us. Let's take another call. We're going to just touch on it, and then we will take a break and come back to it. But let's talk to Anita from Dallas, Texas. Hi, Anita. How are you?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have never called in, but I have listened to you off and on for years.
Good. Well, listen, Anita, here's what we're going to do. We have a commercial coming up really quick, but can you just tell me what your point is and your question, and then we're going to come back to you after the commercial.
Well, after a over 30-year marriage, my husband, who I thought was a Christian, committed adultery, drained all the financial accounts, and walked out.
Oh, man, jeez. Anita, I'm so sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
Anita?
And that's just one thing that he did. When we come back, I'll give you about another 10 more.
Okay, Anita. This is really, really sad, and I want you to know that would just blow apart anybody's world, and I can't imagine how you're surviving, but we want to talk to you about that. Again, this is New Life Live. We'll be right back right after this message.
On Friday night, we got into an argument, and I sit in the car outside for 2 hours. I knew what the right thing to do was to go.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. June 28th to the 30th.
You know, I know this stuff, but it's so hard to do. Mm-hmm. I hear it, I read it, and I'm always getting in my own way. I'm always expecting my wife to go first.
Join Steve Arterburn.
We believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
And New Life's group leaders will help you focus on the area that will benefit your marriage most. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
My biggest takeaway was to just get out of my way and go first.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. Mylan Yurkovich with Chris Williams here on New Life, sitting in for Steve Arterburn. And we are talking to Anita. Anita, oh my gosh, we're sitting here looking at each other thinking, what on earth? You must be going through a tremendous amount of pain, but you said you wanted to share a little bit more with us to give us more of a context.
Yes, we were married for over 30 years.
Yep.
Went to church every Sunday, every one of those Sundays, with no break whatsoever. I come from a Christian family. My grandfather was a preacher. My dad was the music director for a while when I was a child.
Okay, and, so very involved in church. So, and,
oh, yeah,
and
I raised my kids in the church.
Where are you at now?
And so my husband, on my birthday in 2014, left a note on the seat of my car, handwritten on a torn open envelope, saying that he had left.
Oh,
and
geez.
So I
My goodness.
Picked up the note. I had to get gas, and so I went immediately to the gas station so that I could make it home, and my credit card, my debit card, wouldn't even buy gas.
Oh, wow.
So he had drained the bank account. He drained the 401k. He drained the retirement account. He had ruined my credit behind my back for probably over a year. Preceding that, he had been doing that, paying the bills that were in his name and not paying bills that were in my name. So I had, unknown to me, I had judgments against me. He sent our house to foreclosure, so I have now been homeless since 2017. In the last 23 months, I've moved about 15 times,
trying to
keep a roof over my head. He lied to both my children. My oldest one was gone from home in college, but he came and picked up my youngest son, told him he was going to take him on a three-day weekend. Hadn't seen him for a year. Told him he was going to take him on a three-day weekend, and he took my son and never brought him back with no more than a Nike bag full of 3 days of clothes.
And how old is that son?
He was... Now he's in the Army. Now he's 19 going on 20, but this is when he was 16.
Mm. So, Anita, I need to ask you, again, I'll say, this is a horrible set of circumstances. This is a betrayal that we rarely hear things of this magnitude, the deception that went on for a long period of time.
Years.
Right. So, Anita, what's your question for us today?
Well, a couple other things. He filed fraudulent legal documents and had me thrown in jail and arrested.
Okay, so Anita, hold on 1 second.
Uh-huh. Okay.
This whole thing is horrible, and I'm sure you could give us more information, but I just need you to ask us a question right now. Okay, I know it's bad, and there's more detail. We can't get into all of it right now. What's the question you have for us?
Right. So I was just trying to throw in, you know, it's more than just adultery.
We know that it's a horrible, horrible set of circumstances. What's your question?
So I have it's the title of your book. I think it's Forgiving the Unforgivable.
Yes.
I think that's probably my question.
Hmm.
I've told him over and over that I would forgive him, being the Christian wife, and, you know, that he could come home. I think that was the wrong decision. I think I should have kicked him out and said, you know, goodbye, good riddance, don't ever come back. But I was all trying to be the Christian wife and do the right thing and forgive and all that. And he has used that against me to the point where now my whole family thinks I'm just crazy.
Okay, so Anita...
And I'm trying to be a Christian.
Anita...
The question is, how do I handle this?
Okay, yeah, so that's a good question.
Great question, yeah. So, Anita, let me jump in here. There really aren't proper words. I don't even think a good metaphor works for being in a 30-plus year marriage and believing life to work a certain way and be a certain way, and you wake up one day and everything that you thought was true, everything you thought was right, is mm-hmm. fundamentally now wrong,
right,
and has been switched on you. It's the ultimate form of what we call gaslighting. And so your whole world is disorienting. And Anita, you're trying to figure out something that is unfigure-outable, if I can make up a word here. And so I want you to try the best you can to stop figuring him out. He is a fundamentally dangerous and destructive person that you need to be away from as quickly as possible. And honestly, there's a lot that you can do. I think the first thing that you should do is seek legal counsel.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should meet with a lawyer. And any excuse you have about not having money or anything like that, I understand. But I think if there's assistance out there, or any way that you could meet with a family law practitioner, I think that you need to do that immediately.
Yep.
Well, I had a lawyer, obviously, for the divorce.
Well.
And I ran out of money, and so I ended up going to divorce court without a lawyer, and I was run over like a mad truck.
Yes, but hear me. What your husband has done is illegal. It's a violation of the law. Okay, so that's what I'm saying. We're not talking about a divorce proceeding. We're talking about a criminal proceeding.
Yeah. So listen,
you're exactly right.
Anita, we're going to make a couple of recommendations off the air. We have to go to another break. And then when we come back, we will be sharing a couple more thoughts. So just hang on and listen, and we'll provide a couple more thoughts when we get back.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity, because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. Mylon Yurkovich with Chris Williams. We were talking to Anita, and Chris, she's just shared a horrible story of being betrayed and then really sabotaged financially, credit, family, alienated from her. She was truly treated severely. And, you know, for anybody in this kind of a situation, as well as for Anita, there are so many public and free groups that people can go to. Al-Anon, where people are supported and codependency is addressed. How to not be taken advantage of.
Exactly.
How to set boundaries so that you are not run over in court like a bus. Like Anita was. There are also public services where they offer pro bono work to people that are in desperation and don't have the finances. But she needs to try to find a refuge and legal protection. And then I also believe, Chris, she needs to find herself perhaps finding refuge in a halfway house or a house for battered, hurt, abused women, where she can find refuge and help in therapy groups and support, and a place to live where somebody would care for her and know when she's home and things like that.
Yeah. Exhausting the resources, the community and the faith base, so the church resources. And so when we find ourselves maybe in a church community that doesn't have one, go to one that does.
Okay. So we're going to send Anita Take Your Life Back, and also Anita happens to live in Dallas area, and two things there, the Restore a Women's Conference taught by Shelley Martinkus, Hope for a Woman's Heart, you know, when you've been betrayed, when there's sexual infidelity, That's July 19th in Dallas. And then Finding Freedom is going to also be in Dallas on September 20th. Mm-hmm. And that would be two local places. And if she were to call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, she could perhaps get a scholarship to one of those.
Absolutely.
Since she's in a position where she doesn't have a lot of resource right now. And then we're going to send her Take Your Life Back. Wow, what a story. But, you know, the other thing that this raises, Chris, she said, well, we were in church every week.
Yeah.
For 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
But going to church isn't a whole lot more different than just being in a car in a garage. Or me sitting in a garage, it wouldn't make me a car no more than being in church would mm-hmm. make me a better Christian. If I'm not listening and taking it to heart, people go to church and that's all they do. They don't necessarily apply the things. And the blessing of God is in not just hearing, but doing the Word of God.
And this is the importance of intimacy or connecting, mm-hmm. being able to see and hear and understand at these deeper levels and have honest, open conversations is because we can keep up external behavior for a really long time. But really what takes us down over and over is not just the sins of the flesh, but more importantly than that, the sins of the spirit, mm-hmm. which are the things inside of us that we remain unresolved, unhealed, or trapped in harmful, sinful patterns.
And relationships expose all that.
Exactly.
And they help us see and they keep us in tune so that we aren't believing a lie we've told ourselves. Okay, Anita, we continue to be very sorry for what you're going through. Let's talk to Jenny in Bismarck, North Dakota. Hi, Jenny. How are you?
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Oh, you can hear me.
I can. Thank you. Welcome. Thank you, Jenny. What can we do for you today?
I have a family member, it's a daughter-in-law, actually, and I believe she's been hurt and doesn't have a very healthy self-image. And because there are children and they've just had a lot in their young marriage, I try to be kind and very helpful to her. But every now and then, she just makes an indirect kind of comment that's a dig to me, and I just get wounded. I suspect I need to make her aware of that. I'm afraid of that, though, and how do I do that?
Well, I think you came to the right place. I want to thank you for calling us, Jenny. It is hard, and it takes a lot of courage to address a person like this.
Yes, it does, and I have in the past, before, way back when. Probably been married 8 years.
And what's happened when you did that before?
You know, it went well, actually. I just made her aware that I wasn't trying to hurt her. You know, I had suggested something, and it was way early in their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to be a big girl. It did go well. She said, I'm sorry, and whatever. Just, yeah.
Good. Well, there's a book that was written that... it's entitled A Failure of Nerve by Edwin Friedman. And the thesis of the book is that we as people typically in organizations, families, churches, any place where there's a collection of people, we tend to organize and rotate around the most unhealthy person in that system. Because of fear, we rotate around them and revolve around them. And there is a collective failure of nerve of all the orbiting people to stop and say, this person is not going to be the center of our rotation anymore. We're not going to revolve around unhealthy people. So they're learning, as you're saying right here, to be courageous and choose to do this is so important. And I ask people a question when I confront them, Jenny. I will remind them of the statement they made. You know, the other day you said to me thus and so. And I have to imagine that right before you said that, you felt hurt or scared or there was a bad feeling inside of you. What were you feeling right before you shared that with me, before you made that statement?
Oh, yeah, that kind of bingo. I think she might feel threatened I can just tell you real briefly the incident. There was a party, a little kid's party, and the bigger boys were running in, and there was a baby right on the floor.
Yeah.
And so I just stepped in and just kind of redirected, and I said, oh, you want to slow down right here before you get there? And then she said, well, I'm glad I'm not a helicopter parent or something like that. And so it was in front of friends, her friends, but it was still a little ouch, you know.
Well, of course. But, you know, it sounds like it was very defensive, and I would just bring it up. You have a very
right.
Here's what I like about you, Jenny. You have a very nice voice. You seem very pleasant, and you even went about that rather nice. But I think if you just said to her, you know, when you said that to me the other day, and I jumped in and got in the way of the baby and so on and so forth, what did you feel right then? Because I just want to have a great relationship with you, and I want to know how you felt. And perhaps you felt judged. I wouldn't even put that into the comment necessarily, but you know it does. Something hurt. Tell me what it was. What would you say, Chris?
I would just say this. Jenny, I hear you, because I tend to be a very non-confrontational person, because I carry fear. Mm. I'm afraid of how other people will respond. But what the hard work that I've had to address is what I'm really afraid of is that you won't value me like I don't value me.
Mm. Wow.
Do you hear that?
Right.
Right? Because if I really do value me, I am not – I'm going to be able to address and talk through things that hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm afraid of is that you won't – if you don't respond well to me bringing up a hard topic, that you are affirming my lack of value.
Wow. I hadn't thought of that one.
So – I want to go back to what Mylon was saying, because obviously it's about the relationship that you have with your daughter-in-law, but it's also a great opportunity for you to grow. It's a great growth opportunity for you to recover back your own value, not at the expense of somebody else, but with somebody else, regardless of how she responds to that. And so that you show up in the world as a person that has, you know, that God worth, that God value. And then people are going to have to actually relate to you with that value.
Yeah, just good stuff here. Yeah, I think I'm afraid sometimes. You know, it's not somebody I can sever a relationship with, like, you know, say it were a distant friend and isn't that healthy, you know. But in this situation, I think I'm afraid she might keep her kids from me or turn her husband with my son against me and... You know, and also she's not the only one. And I don't have situations like this very often, but just maybe the good Lord's working on me, because just a couple of weeks ago, somebody just offhandedly said to me, asked me, do you have trouble making decisions? And I was like, oh my.
Yeah, yeah.
I just felt the judgment there. You know, you know those kinds of scenarios.
Sure,
absolutely.
We all go through those.
I just want to run away.
Yes, and that is probably a feeling you felt before when criticized or judged. I just want to run away. And it's important to keep in mind that history of ourselves as we talk to other people and realize God's working on us too to help us grow up. Jenny, we're going to send you the book Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn, and I thank you for calling. And to our audience, we'll be right back.
I feel blessed to have had this opportunity for my needs to be met, connecting with other women who are fighting the same fight, hoping for healthy marriages and growing closer to the Lord on their journey.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography, it might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
I feel encouraged and hopeful that even in my struggle, I am enough.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey.
Through the sharing in our small group, I realize that I am not alone.
Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, July 19th to the 21st. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. Mylon Yurkovich in for Steve Arterburn along with Chris Williams. And, you know, a lot of people call into our show to get help, advice. They are trying to look for that opportunity to be on the air with us. But there's another option. If you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, you can take the next step with one of our counselors. If you're struggling with anger, fear, grief, codependency, anxiety, just feeling stuck, you can call for a counselor referral, a tip sheet, books, just somebody to talk to you about it and get you started on a path. Now, Chris, if we don't get started on a path and somebody doesn't help get us onto a path, sometimes we just stay stuck for incredibly long periods of time.
Yeah, it's sadly remarkable how resiliently stuck we can be.
Resiliently stuck. That's a good phrase. I'm going to have to use that more.
So let us help you. Mm-hmm. Like you said, call into the call center. We have a nationwide network of therapists and counselors.
Right.
We have workshops. We have books. We have resources. But you do not have to stay stuck in a miserable circumstance or situation in your life.
Yeah.
That is not God's will for your life. Let me tell you that right now.
It is not. And it's one of the easiest phone numbers in the world to remember.
Yeah.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. And just start a dialogue with somebody and see what happens. We would love to have you call. And we have people that's what they do.
Yeah.
They just talk to people and they help them along. That's one of the cool things about New Life. And it's something a lot of people don't know about because they think the show is the place where that happens. Mm-hmm. But it happens also off the air all the time. All right, let's talk to Brenda in Peoria, Illinois. Hi, Brenda. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
We are pleased to. Tell us what's going on, Brenda.
Well, I'll ask my question first.
Okay.
It's a two-part question.
Two parts.
I want to know what my role as a mother is in a situation with our daughter, who's 27. She is in an unhealthy marriage for almost 5 years now, and it's been this way from the get-go. We had reservations about them marrying, and I need to know how to guide her. She calls me a lot. It's better than it used to be. It's not as exhausting as it used to be. She is getting healthier herself.
Mm-hmm.
I've encouraged her to do counseling, and it's always kind of a mental hard block for her to go.
Right. Well, what's going on with her life that she needs to call you and that you're advising her? What's going on with her? What kind of a marriage is it?
Well, her husband's in the military. He has a lot of childhood trauma and pain that he's never dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And he is on a short-term leave, and my daughter did something that frustrated him at home here with, it's a long story, but anyway, he basically is punishing her, and now for 4 weeks he has not contacted her or talked with her.
Do they live together?
He is in Arizona for the time, and she is in Boston.
I see. And so he is penalizing her by not communicating with her because she did something he didn't like?
Correct.
Okay.
And it wasn't anything that was ridiculously terrible. It was just a, yeah.
Okay.
So here she sits and prays and is waiting for God to direct her. But I feel like I would like to see her do more than this, and I don't know what my role is and what I can help her with.
Well, Brenda, I love your call, and I love that you're asking two questions. What is your role? Because it's always very dicey as moms mm-hmm. and dads to advise our adult, you know, our adult kids and grown kids. And then secondly, you know, to understand this situation. Chris, I don't know about you, but everybody that comes into my office comes in because of pain.
Yes.
And perhaps Brenda's daughter is going to have to get to a place where life is painful enough that she'll seek help. She's praying and asking God to lead her and guide her, but she also has a mom who's trying to lead and guide her.
Yeah. Well, this is what I know about our difficult situations. Passivity doesn't change anything.
Absolutely true.
So we've got to take a proactive role, not a passive role.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this, Brenda, just a couple things. You may have already offered this, but really speaking some more truth to your daughter as far as what you're willing and not willing to do. Is that if she's stuck in this, you say, hey, I'm willing to help you move forward, get counseling, go see a therapist, but I'm not willing to help keep you stuck in where you are.
Okay.
The other thing...
I don't want to be a helicopter mom, but I want to be...
Well, she's 27, so a helicopter mom obviously is going to be counterproductive. But the other thing is that, you know, your daughter is really trapped in fear.
Mm-hmm.
She is. I agree.
And does she tell you what she's afraid of?
She's always had a huge fear of rejection, which I don't fully understand. She was raised in a solid family with a mom and a dad, and I just...
Here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want you to stay open to what ever she may answer, even though it would be difficult for you to hear, or could be. I don't know if it would be or not. But just saying, hey, you know, I really sense that you fear rejection or abandonment. Can you tell me more about that? And Mylan mentioned this at the beginning of the show. Is there anything that I have done? Is there anything between us that you need to address that may have contributed to that or you know, not caused it, but contributed to you feeling or fearing rejection?
I've read, I think it's at Mylan's book on how we love.
Mm-hmm.
And I've, you know, asked her as a child, you know, did you feel comforted? And we've talked about this. And
what I'm saying is in real time, like today.
Right.
Not as a child, but, you know, today, you know, and what are, because fear of being rejected is really, I mean, reasonable, but mm-hmm. obviously, as Mylan was saying earlier, the pain of your daughter's current circumstance may need to, at some point, exceed her fear of rejection.
Okay.
Right? Now, but with that said, you can actually help her get there.
Great, because that's where I'm stuck.
And where you're stuck is that you can't sit by and watch your daughter go down this really destructive trail anymore. And so you can even set some boundaries around that of like, I would love to take your call, but I'm only willing to take your call if you're willing to get help.
Okay.
Because I can't bear your problem as my problem any longer.
So what you're saying, mm-hmm. this goes to her first question, what's my role?
Yes.
So my role is I will not be a place for you just to process your grief. My role will be to guide you into something that's productive for you, daughter. And if she doesn't do that, then I'm not just going to be the person you can call if you don't listen to me.
Mylan, that's spot on.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that.
Well,
yeah.
I'm just repeating what you said.
But you said a better – so say that again to bring that clarity.
Well, her role is to not be a place of just sheer comfort and empathy and listen to her pain. But it's to be a place where I will give you advice, and if you don't listen to me, then I'm sorry, I can't help you a whole lot more. Now, Brenda, I know that's abrupt, but I've got to go. Our show is almost over, but we want to thank you for calling. And I would love to have you give her the book, Healing is a Choice, because she needs to heal and realize she's in charge of her life, not her husband. And so that would help her with this journey. I want to thank you for listening and being with us today. This is Mylon Yurkovich and Chris Williams, New Life Ministries, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.